Good morning, gentlemen. Are you ready?
Yes,
I don't think so. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Holy Father, great God of love and mercy, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Not a cowardly spirit, but one that will make us strong, loving, and wise. That we may do your will because it's your will. We beg you these things, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary, Mother of Jesus. Good Saint Joseph. Pray for us. All you people out there, you pagans, get your butts in here. What do you think this is? Like women going to the bathroom. Just let's get it in gear. Okay, so today, gentlemen, if you haven't, how many have heard me before? I'm sorry. So the rest of you, you're not going to like it. So I'm just telling you now. The reality is this talk I haven't given before, a part of the talk you've heard before, but I'm going to talk about family. And family is such a problem in society today. And it's primarily, family has become a problem in America because of the men. Because men have not been men. Men have been adolescents, they've been children, they've not grown up and become men. When I used to teach boys, my biggest thing in teaching the boys was, is that you have consequences for actions. And nowadays, we don't want any consequences for any actions. Like, for instance, a kid would tell me and say, Father, what? There was a mistake. What's a mistake? My girlfriend's pregnant. I'd say, oh, son, that wasn't a mistake. You had sex. That's what happens when you have sex. You know, a guy and a girl have sex. Babies are born. So, again, that's the consequence of actions. And so we have consequences. And so men know to die to themselves for something greater. Boys just want everything for themselves now. So you can be 80 and still be a boy, right? You can be 50 and still be a boy. A man gives away his life for his family, for his country, for different things. And so we're going to be talking about family. So to do this, we have to spell it. Now, this is going to be harder. I for some of you, Phil Dolce's here. It's very hard for him to spell. So how do you spell family? F-A-M-I-L-Y. Wow, you're so good. Now, first letter is what? F. F is for faith and forgiveness. What's F for?
Faith and forgiveness.
The first thing you have to instill in your families, gentlemen, is you have to instill in them faith. Now, if you don't have a family yet, you have to make sure that this is what you do. Me as a priest, this is what I have to do at my parishioners. Everybody, it's part of who we are. So, but first of all, for those of you who are true fathers, have a spouse, have kids, the first thing you're called to do is instill faith. Now, you realize that your job as a father is to get your wife and your children to heaven, correct? First experience. I don't care if you give them money and you provide for them. Your job is to protect them. Father Dave already talked about when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam kept his mouth shut. That's a big, I do a whole talk just on Adam keeping his mouth shut during the fall. Adam should have sat there and ran in front of his wife and looked at the devil and said, you got to go through me before you get to my wife. But he was a wimp, as most Catholic men are anymore. They're wimpy. How can I tell they're wimpy? Because most men don't pray. And it ain't just you. As I've got older, I do more and more priest retreats. And as I do priest retreats, that's my biggest fight with priests. Father, pray every day besides the Mass, because you got to do that. You do a holy hour every day or get the hell out of the priesthood. And they all look at me like, boy, you're tough. I'm not tough. There's nothing worse in the church. There's no worse curse in the church than a priest that doesn't pray. No worse curse in the church than a priest that doesn't pray. And there's no worse curse in the family than a father who doesn't pray. So the first thing you have to do is instill faith. And the way you instill faith, gentlemen, is you become a man of faith. And the way it's this encounter with Jesus, as Father Dave talked about, that this encounter with Jesus can only happen is if you're a man of prayer, right? Once I sat there, I was doing a big high school. You know, I talked to the high school here yesterday. There was a great bunch of kids. I had a very, very short time to do it, so I had to throw everything in real fast. But once I was talking to 1,200 kids at co-ed high school in Cleveland, and I was talking about being in love. And I asked this one boy, I said, hey, son, you been in love? He goes, yeah. And I said, and how do you know you were in love? Because I made, you know, they try to shock me. Because I made love to her father. And I said, okay, after your 30 seconds, then what did you do? And it's like, anybody can play the game, I made love. You only fall in love by spending time with somebody, correct? You cannot fall in love with Jesus Christ by giving him 45 minutes to an hour a week, gentlemen. You can't do it. I'm sorry. If that's your only thing is going to Mass on Sunday and you say you're in love with Jesus, you're a liar. Now, I know, Father David, and wait till you hear Father after me, that you got two holy priests and then you got me, just so you know. So you're going to like the other ones much better because I'm not so gentle and everything else. But again, though, you cannot love Jesus Christ unless you spend time with him every day. Period. Once I did a men's conference in Loretto, Pennsylvania, the place where Father David comes from. It's his home base, where he was probably ordained from, I would guess. He was ordained there. It's where his community's from. And I was doing a men's conference there, and there was a deacon that was speaking before me, and he was a professional basketball player at one time, and I was deacon, big man, and he's talking to the guys, and he's saying, oh, guys, you know, could you try to pray every day? You know, I know it's really hard, guys, just try. You know, maybe when you're driving to work, you know, think about, take 10 of those little bumps on your steering wheel, just try 10, and try to say 10 Hail Marys every day. And I am fuming. And I'm thinking, oh, really? So he went, his talk got done, and he left by God's grace because I got up after him. And I said, gentlemen, wasn't the deacon great? Yeah, he was great. He was a good man. I says, you know how he told you to try to pray every day? Yeah, that's a good idea. I said, gentlemen, you pray every day or go to hell. Do you understand me? And they sat there and says, we like the deacon better. Yeah, I know. But again, the problem with society today is men who don't pray. It's just that simple. And when you pray, that means you're going to spend time with Jesus. And again, I do a holy hour every day. I did my holy hour this morning. Last night, I couldn't do my holy hour till I got in here. So after our dinner and that, I went home. I said Mass. I stopped Mass at the Our Father. And I do my holy hour. Then I continue. Holy hour every day of my life, every day of my life, every day of my life. Why? Because if I love Jesus, I got to spend a holy hour with him every day. I don't care where I am. I once did a priest retreat for the Franciscan University. And this priest, I was talking to the priest, and I said, gentlemen, about doing holy hours. And this guy come to me, and he says, the priest. I didn't know it was priests and deacons there. He says, Father, I'm going away for 2 weeks with my brother, and we're going to be walking. We're going to be in Australia. You expect me to do a holy hour every day? I said, are you a priest of Jesus Christ? Well, yeah. I said, well, you can bring Jesus. Of course I expect you to do a holy hour every day. Okay, I was just asking. So again, that we decide that the most important thing in my life that I do every day is pray. And so some of you might say, well, I'm very busy, Father. Oh, cry me a river. You decide for the rest of your life you'll give God 5 minutes a day. Gentlemen, if you can't give God 5 minutes a day, think how sad that is. Because some of you, it takes longer for you to take a dump in the morning, correct? And what are you going to do when you drop dead and you stand before God and he says, how come you spent more time in the toilet than you did talking to me? What are you going to say? Well, you got to go. You got to go. So today, gentlemen, I want you to commit your life to the rest of your life. You'll spend at least 5 minutes a day with God. And if you can't do that, think about how sad you are and look in the mirror and say, I'm a wimp. I'm a wimp. I'm a wimp. Because you are. In the middle of the night, John Paul II, the great saint, walked into his father's room in the middle of the night, and his father is awake. And what was his father doing? He was on his knees in prayer. Gentlemen, we need, if our kids walked into us and caught us in the middle of the night and you were awake, what would you be doing? Looking at porn, working, doing all these other things? Or would you be in prayer? The main thing you got to do is, like when I do my holy hour every day, even if I'm on the road, I have to do it because I look at the world, the flesh, and the devil and say, you got to go through me before you get to my congregation. Gentlemen, when you start praying every day, you look at the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you do the exact opposite of Adam, who wasn't a true man. And you look at the world, the flesh, and the devil and say, you got to go through me to get to my wife and kids. Because if your kid becomes the president of the United States and they go to hell, you failed as a father. You understand that? The number one thing that makes you a man. And these kids, gentlemen, are not your kids. Whose kids are they? God's. And he gave them to you to protect. Like Jesus was given to Joseph to protect. That's who you are. You are Joseph to them. Often when I do wedding, baptisms, I don't know why people ask me to do baptisms, because every baptism in my congregation, you know, I have about 800 families in my congregation. I'm a pastor. And I'll sit there, especially if it's done at Mass. I love doing this. And I say, we all know that Joe here is not the father of this child. And the girl turns all red and the people go, yeah, I knew that. I knew that one. We knew that. And I said, the true father of this child is who? God. When Jesus said, call no man father, he sure as hell did not mean priests. They didn't call priests father in those days. He meant the guy who had sex with your mother and begot you. That's who you should not call father. That's you, gentlemen. The true father of your children is God. You are the sacrament of fatherhood to them. So you must show them that you are, when they look at you, they want to see God the Father. So you instill faith by the way you live. My dad, I'm from Pittsburgh, as we all know, because God is a Steeler fan. We've all dealt with it many times. But the reality is, as I was growing up in Pittsburgh, my father had a saying, you do as I say, stupid, stupid, stupid. Your kids are always going to do as you do. You know Danny Abramowitz, we speak a lot to men throughout the country. And Danny loves to tell the men, he says, gentlemen, your kids will always love their mother. But they're going to want to be just like you. Period. So you have them do as you do. So if you're a man of daily prayer, your kids are going to learn that. You know, my dad smoked, so guess what I did? Smoked. Why? Because I want to be like my dad. And I was one of these kids. I was kind of, you know, I was a bad kid, but at the same time, I was a holy kid. There was great hypocrisy in me even back then. And here I was, and I had an altar, I had a cross, and I had a statue of St. Joseph, and St. Joseph was hollow. So I hid my cigarettes in St. Joseph. He got me back. I'm pastor of St. Joseph Church now. But anyway, so. But why? My dad said, if I ever catch you smoking, I'll kill you. I was willing to do that. Why? Because he smoked, I wanted to smoke. I wanted to be like my dad. Gentlemen, your kids want to be like you. Do they see Jesus when they look at you? Do they see a man of faith? If not, it's time that you got to start changing your life here, man. Okay, the second thing you got to do for the F is what? Forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is one of these things. You do realize, gentlemen, that if you refuse to forgive one person, just one, you will be damned. Promise. God the Father taught us when Jesus taught us the prayer. Every day we say the Lord's Prayer. I have a new book coming out called Just Live It, Living the 10 Principles of the World's Most Famous Prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer. And so anyway, in the middle of it, every day you say that prayer, you say, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. So if you're very forgiving, good, say that prayer with no problem. If you're not, you just ask God. If you refuse to forgive somebody, even one person, you just ask God to not forgive you. And then we always make the Lord's Prayer something la la, oh yeah, my dad, and all that's true. But then we go on, because right after Jesus teaches us the prayer in Matthew, he says, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you. So, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you while I'm talking anyone in your life you have not forgiven. And then what you need to do is you need to say, Jesus, I forgive them now, and I ask you to forgive them. It's an act of the will. Feelings mean nothing in Christianity. You give your life to Jesus. You sit there and say, Jesus, I forgive them, and I ask you to forgive them. If you refuse to forgive somebody, does it do anything to them? Nope, it destroys you inside like a cancer. And that's why a lot of you have no peace. Even if I give you my life, Jesus, even to give your life to Jesus, which I'll give you the opportunity for at the end, because I'm doing the last talk. Even if you give your life to Jesus, if you refuse to forgive somebody, that can't be given until you completely sit there and say, Jesus, I forgive everyone. Because when you come before God, he will forgive you your sins. That's why he died on the cross. We believe in grace. We're saved by what he did for us, not what we do for him. But to receive it fully, we have to have a forgiving heart. So F is for faith, and forgiveness. So the family got to be a place where they look at you and they see a man of faith and they see a man of forgiveness, number one. The second letter is what?
A.
A is for affirmation. What's A for? Affirmation. Now, again, in your families, I'm sure you always do some, you always say something negative to your wife and to your kids. I'll bet you on a daily basis. You don't even think about it. But you'll sit there and say, why didn't you take out the garbage? You come home and you say, why isn't the thing clean? Why don't you have this? Why? And so what that does is that makes people not want you to be around. I'm just telling you. Why don't you sit there and say something affirming every day? Once I was doing a big men's conference, again, years ago. I'm getting old. I've been doing this a long, long time. And as I was out there, I was talking in Kansas City, Kansas. And in those days, you know, I was in Jacksonville all this past week, Florida, doing a parish mission, and left there Friday morning and flew up here. And, you know, I used to, now I send DVDs and they have to show the, me because I have to be in my parish every Sunday. But in those days, I'd actually go and preach at the parishes. So I was leaving Kansas City and I was going up to Indianapolis. So I was there on a Saturday and the men conference, they had to listen to me the whole day. I was the only speaker and there was 1,000 men there. Talk about hell on earth, correct? And so, but in the back of the church there, there was this kid that had one of these mohawks. He had black fingernail polish. He had one of these long pea coats on. He had the big black boots. And as I'm speaking, he's like this. And I'm thinking, boy, am I missing this kid. And I tried everything, but his look would not express, it didn't change at all. And I'm like, okay, God. And I start praying for him, and I'm thinking, okay, whatever. I have to leave. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We just got done mass. And I'm running out the door, and people are clapping. As I'm running out the door, this kid comes running towards me. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's going to kill me. I just know I'm going to be shot right here. It's going to be one of those things in Kansas City. But what he did was he gave me a piece of paper. And I still carry this piece of paper around with me everywhere I go. And normally I get afraid when people give me pieces of paper because people say about me, you know, they write me a note and say, Father, you're harsh or Father, you're arrogant or Father, you could be nice or whatever it is. I get these all the time. I know. Nothing's going to change with me unless they give me a lobotomy. This is the way it is. I'm sorry. Some like it, some hate it, but whatever. So he gave me this piece of paper. I go, oh, thank you. And I go and I sit in the car and I say, because I mightn't come off as sensitive, but I'm a sensitive type guy. I know. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so I said, let's just get it over with. Let's get it over with. Just read it and let it be done. So I'm sitting in the driver's seat of my car and it says on the front of it, Pax Omni. Now, I never had Latin. I'm a stupid priest. I don't know any Latin. All the newly ordained priests, they know Latin back and forth. Well, that's good. I don't. That must make me some big liberal. But anyway, Pax Omni. And then he must have knew I didn't know Latin because he explains it. Peace everywhere. And I'm thinking, from this kid? What's with that? And you open it up, and this is what it says. Maybe one person in 1,000 years dies from too much praise. Yet every minute a kid dies inside from lack of it. Maybe one person in 1,000 years dies from too much praise. Yet every minute a kid dies inside from lack of it. Do we affirm our children? Do we affirm our spouses? Do we just say one nice thing to them every day, huh? So, gentlemen, what I want you to do is I want you to decide to do that. You're going to say, make it explicit. I will say one nice thing to my wife and my children every day. If you have 10 kids, it's going to take you a while, but that'll be okay. You say one nice thing to your wife and kids. You know, I have one of my kids, not from my parish, but he comes from a very, 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 very Catholic family. But Catholic family, I hate those type of Catholic families. Why? Because they go to daily mass. Oh, they're so holy. Oh, they live the faith so well. But they hate Pope Francis because he's not their type of pope. And then they sit there and this kid who's now in the Navy, what's the SEAL? He's a Navy SEAL. I just took him out to lunch and this poor kid, he was a top swimmer in his class and everything else. And his parents, if he came in second, they'd look at him and say, you're a loser. You're a loser. All their kids, everyone moved out of the state when they turned 18. But what great Catholics they are. Bull crap. If you're not a man of love, you suck as a Catholic, period. I cannot take these Catholics and all they do is judge everybody else. And they're so holy. Look how I go to communion and look how tough my family is. They're all perfect little children. That's great. Do they know you love them, sir? Do you say something nice to them every day? Because if you tell your son or daughter they suck and they're losers, you're the loser. Let me be clear. I cannot take it and I will not put up with it. I am a priest of God. My job is to get you to heaven. And you will not go to heaven even if you say a rosary every day and you go to Mass every day if you're not a man of love. You will go to hell, I promise. Who went to daily Mass? Because you're not changing. So you need to be a man of affirmation. It'll kill some of you to say something nice to your wife every day because you usually don't, and to your children every day. Do you hate me yet? Are you praying for my death at this very moment? I know some of you are. I know. I don't care. Anyway, next letter. Next letter. M. M is for make memories. What's M for? Make memories. Now, what does that mean? You need, first of all, gentlemen, to have dinner together. You know, what's your kids going to do later on? 20 years from now, oh, yeah, you know, my dad was very proud of me. I played football and soccer and all these things every day. But, you know, because of practice, I didn't get home till 9 o'clock. So my mother went and put some stuff in the microwave, and she had stuff. And I would sit there and eat it and watch television. And what's that? If you don't have dinner as a family, what are you saying? Sports is more important than family. Huh? If you're working so hard, money's more important than family. You need to have dinner, gentlemen, together. Now, again, it might be absolutely impossible for you to do it every day. Well, then you do it on Sundays. Every Sunday is family day. Nobody can be away. Everybody has to have family. And you will like it, right? Every Sunday. And then when you are at family, you gotta have time of joy. It's not a time of yelling at each other. It's a time of building one another up, right? Now, I had this great family that I entered seminary at 17. I'm a lifer. Can you tell? Anyway, so at 17, I entered seminary. So I would spend time with this family in Erie, where I was in high school seminary. And there was three boys and a girl in this family, right? The two of the boys became priests. One is the rector of our seminary, Father Michael Konsecki, and the other one really doesn't count. He became a Jesuit. But anyway, so... I know I'm going to hell. But anyway, he's the head Jesuit in the United States. If you ever watch CNN, when the Pope comes in, Father Tim Konsecki is a thing. He's like my brother. And then the other boy became a ranger, and the girl became a doctor. Now, I would love to be at their family for dinner because it was run by, and the parents are still alive in their 80s. Their mother is a woman about this big from Italy named Carmela. The father is about this big, and he's from Poland, and his name's Bob. Who do you think runs the family? Carmela, huh? And they had I used to love to be there because she's from Italy, and dinner would go on for hours, hours. And we would laugh and laugh and laugh. And one day we laughed so hard, the young girl who's now a doctor, she laughed so hard, she peed her pants. What a memory. Do you laugh so hard at your family dinners that someone might pee their pants? Not in my family, Father. Oh, yeah, because you're a really strong man, aren't you? God said in John chapter 15, it says, I have told you all this so that my joy may be in you and your joy can be complete. We need to be men of joy because Jesus says, everything I've told you is that you would have his joy. So again, can that be exhibited at your dinner table? Is it a joyful house? Are you a joyful man? Huh? You know, that's the whole reality. We all have different types of joy, but just sit there and become joy. So they also had a rule because as Danny got old, the oldest boy, that nobody ever ate alone. So let's say Danny didn't get home till 9 o'clock at night. Television set went off, games went off, everything went off, and everybody sat at the table as Dan ate his dinner because nobody eats alone. If you have one of those things, your kids at work or your kids at playing soccer or football, do you let your kid come home and eat by themselves? Could you imagine a difference that if your kid comes late, that his father sits at the dinner table with him instead of watching a game or watching TV or reading the paper? that you, the father of the house, would sit with your children so that they never eat alone. Boy, one little thing like that could change your whole family. Huh? And see, gentlemen, the purpose of a mission, the purpose of a men's conference is for you to change. If you come in here one way and you walk out the same way, you wasted your day and I wasted my time. The thing about this is for you to change. So M is for make memories. What's the next letter? I. I is for intimacy. What's I for? Intimacy. And intimacy means in to me see. What's intimacy mean? So we all have masks that we let other people see. There's very few people that get inside. But it needs to be, especially our spouses, huh? That the reality is, I think it's very sad. I am more intimate with more married women and more married men than they are with each other. Why? Because I see their souls. And some married couples never share their souls with their spouse. You know, if you ever listen to my truth CD, right on there I say, you want to have great sex with your wife? Yeah? Say, yes, Father. Yes, Father. You remember what that day was like when you used to have sex, right? Anyway, so, you want to have great sex? I want this one. And I'm a celibate. I'm a 57-year-old virgin. You ever see what a 57-year-old virgin looks like? Take a look. This is what they look like, huh? Now, some of you might be saying, oh, Father, if you looked in the mirror, I know why you're a virgin. Shut up. I didn't always look like this. I've had my chances. But anyway, so you want to have great sex? You start to pray with your wife before you have intercourse with her. And one guy, I was doing marriage, getting ready marriage prep, and I said, this is what I want you to learn to do. And the guy looked at me and says, don't you think that'll kill the moment, Father? I said, if you think that'll kill the moment, you don't know what prayer is and you don't know what sex is. You want to share your soul before you share your body. And most of you have never done it. Why? Because that's way too intimate. Any dog can have sex. But it takes a real Christian man to pray with his wife. Pray with his children. Do you pray with your wife and children? Even if it's something as simple as holding hands and saying an Our Father. Can you do something as simple as that? Can you pray intimately with them? You know, I have anger issues. I don't know if you could tell. But I went to 2 years anger management counseling. I'm much better, thank you very much. But the problem with anger is never anger. It's a symptom that we cover up, either pain, hurt or fear. And so if we're hurt or afraid, we get angry and we protect ourselves. And so once, you know, as a priest, you know, I'm on the road 45 times a year. I'm a full-time pastor of 850 families. I'm on the radio every week. I'm on TV every week. I'm the author of 4 books. The fifth is coming out soon. I'm the head of our own program, 2232 Men, which is our men's movement. And we have 138 women. And I'm in charge of the Divine Mercy Encounter. You know, I'm just complaining is what I'm doing at this moment. But the reality is that everywhere I go, someone wants a piece of me. Oh, Father, oh, Father, oh, Father, please, Father. I know you're very busy, Father, but just one more thing. And so whatever, it gets to be taxing. I'm just a human being like anybody else. And so everybody wants something. So you keep giving, keep giving, keep giving. One Christmas, I was so bad. I had all the masses. I didn't have anybody to help me at the parish. I had all the masses. And I'm driving to Pittsburgh, which is 2 hours from my parish. And I'm driving to Pittsburgh with my family. And I'm literally crying all the way down because I had nothing left. And I'm a mess. And I had a, you know, I'm wrapping the presents to get them in the car so I can get home. And I put all the Christmas tree stuff under the tree. And I go, Merry Christmas. And I put everything under the tree. And I went downstairs and closed the door because I was a mess. My mother came downstairs. She opened the door, walked in. And she says, Larry, sat right across from me. What's the matter? Nobody once had ever asked me for the last year what the matter with me was. The only thing they wanted something for me. Only my mother had intimacy with me. Do you have intimacy with your spouse and your children? One of the ways I'd encourage you is first with your spouse is every day when you get home, look at her and say, how are you? Not what did you do today? How are you? Once a week to take each of your children and say, how are you? Have intimacy. And they should be able to tell you anything as their dad. They should be able to tell you anything. Doesn't mean you won't punish them, but they know that you will accept them and love them no matter what. It doesn't mean you won't challenge them to the next level, but you'll accept them and love them no matter what. I is for intimacy. What's the next letter? What do you think that one's for? I'll come back to that. Let's jump to the last letter. What is the last letter? Why? Why? It's all about you. It's not about me. Now, you all, you know Father Stan Fortuna. You ever heard of him? He's a nutty Franciscan. He's one of these greatest guys ever. But I still think he's on drugs. No, he's not. But when you ever talk to him, it's, hey, dude, he's anyway, great guy. He's a good friend. I was just saw him in, anyway, it's all beside the point. He has a letter, he has a song out called Family. And the way family for him is, forget about me, I love you. Forget about me, I love you. One of the things I'd encourage you to do, gentlemen, young gentlemen, older gentlemen, when you go home, do you have bathrooms up here in Grand Rapids? Yeah, I still have the outhouses, right? Anyway, so if you have a bathroom and you have a mirror there, I want you to put three things on your mirror, three words. I am third. What are the three words? That means God is first, others are second, you are last. Another way of Mother Teresa's say a life of joy. Jesus first, J-O, others second, Y, yourself last. To live a life of your third. And every night before you go to bed and you're brushing your teeth, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Think, did I do at least one unselfish act a day for somebody else? And if the answer is no, you waste your day in Christ. Now, this is for priests, too. Because I'm very big, you know, priests, I say mass for people. Shut up. They pay you to do that. To do one unselfish act for somebody else. All of us got to do that. I am third. That's what it's all about you. I am third. You do know, people, that nobody in this earth is here to serve you. You're here to serve everybody else. Period. You know, I once had a guy who said, my wife's called to serve me. Get the hell out of the faith. Don't you dare call yourself a Catholic. You're here to die for your wife. That's what you're here for. Nobody's here to serve you. Get over that garbage. This is what you're supposed to be to your wife and kids. Nobody is here to serve you. And if you think there are, you have a messed up mentality of Christianity. That is not Christian. They need to be submissive. Submissive to the mission of Christ. And if you're not under the mission of Christ, they're not to be submissive to you. Understand that? But anyway, let's go back now that you hate me all the more. Let's go to the last letter, which I skipped, which is L. L is for love. Now, Jesus Christ only gave us one commandment, right? Love one another as I have loved you. This is John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. Love one another. This is my new, I give you a command, my commandment. Love one another, a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Then verse 35 says what? Any good Protestants here? All people know you're my disciples because you love one another. The only way that Jesus knows you're a disciple of him is that you love others. Now, everyone's going to love people differently. I love them kind of a strong way. You know, I taught all boys, and my way of showing people I love them, you know, poor Phil, is a boom, I hit him in, Father, you know you shouldn't hit me. Oh, I know, I know. But my thing when I was dealing with all those boys at high school, I'd walk through the halls, bang, walk one of the kids in a locker, bang, knock another kid in a locker. 10 of them would jump me, and I'd say, you touch a priest, you go to hell forever. My way is not a soft way, you know, and again, I say you don't like it. There's lots of soft priests. Find anyone. Don't invite me in. But the reality is I have a classmate who's very gentle, will probably be a bishop soon, just made vicar general. And he used to be a co-ed, the chaplain of a co-ed school. And he'd say, come here. I want to tell you a secret. I think you're special. Isn't that nice? I used to tell my boys, gentlemen, don't ever think I'm going to say, come here. I want to tell you a secret. I think you're special. Ain't ever going to happen, right? This is the personality. But you love in your personality. You see, people are afraid to be loving because they think that means you have to tiptoe through the tulips. Gentlemen, you want to learn to be a man? You deal with Jesus. You go through the Gospels. And I love this because too many people have made Jesus this tiptoe. Most people would hate Jesus Christ in the church today. They would not invite Jesus in, right? Because he made the holy ones feel uncomfortable. That's why they killed him. Nowhere in the Bible, maybe in Revelation, but in the Gospels, does anyone say, Jesus is so holy. What did they call Jesus? Do you remember? A drunkard and a glutton. He hung out with sinners. Oh, for a lot of us, he wouldn't even be welcome in our homes. Right? but he was a man of love. And so if you look at the characteristics, I say for men, you go through and you look, you read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, stop. And you write all the characteristics of Jesus Christ. You will be quite surprised what kind of man Jesus was. So different than what we've made him. The truth is in the gospel. So you love the way God calls you to love. But the first thing you got to do is you got to love your family. And if you've been with me before, you've heard this story. You got to love them first. You got to put them first. You got to tell them that you love them. And again, as growing up myself, I grew up in Pittsburgh, as you know. Both of my parents were cops, not just my father, but my mother was a cop. Graduated highest ever from the Pittsburgh Police Academy, huh? I always said she missed her vocation. She should have been God. She knows everything. Just ask her. Anyway, so we had my mother and my father was a cop. So everybody thought I'd be a cop too. And in some ways I am a spiritual cop. But today it's hard to be a police officer, is it not? Every time you get a call, it's something bad. Now in America, it was the big thing. Everybody hates cops. We know the cops die for us every day. I knew as having both parents cops that one day my dad or mom might not come home that day. And every time a cop gets a call, it's for something bad. Someone murdered somebody. Someone raped somebody. No one you ever call a cop and say, "Officer, I just want to tell you I'm having a good day." Doesn't happen. So to deal with that, some police officers drink. And some become alcoholics. I've known some became very bad alcoholics. I knew one became a very bad alcoholic, left his wife, left his kids, moved out to Las Vegas because everybody's happy in Las Vegas. Did you know that? He got a new wife, new kids, used to work at Circus. After a few years there, he moved to Houston because everybody's happy in Houston, Texas. But he kept drinking and drinking and drinking. And this man was drinking so much at the age of 43 years old, which is quite young, is it not? Baby. I'm going to be 57. He was a baby. He was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. So his wife, I was a senior in college seminary at the time, and his wife called me on the phone and says, "Larry, I know you're really busy, but can you come out here and be with him?" And I said, "Of course, that's what I do. I'm a seminarian, yes." And I got on the phone, I got in a plane, and I flew out to Houston, Texas. Well, I wasn't prepared for what I saw. When I walked in the ICU room, here's this man, only 43 years old, a couple days before his 44th birthday. He had pure gray hair. He had no fat in his body. He looked like he was a living skeleton. He looked like he was 99 dying of AIDS. And he had a respirator on. He couldn't talk to me. So I walked into the room and I go, "You look like hell." I have a negative humor. I don't know if you figured that out yet. I do. I have a negative humor. But anyway, but he knew I had a negative humor and he smiled. But he couldn't talk to me. He wrote to me on this blackboard. And I spent a week with him, praying with him, being with him, picking on him. That's just my style. Even my father, people I would pick on and pick on. Everybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, everybody, I pick on them. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, you'll have to stay away because that's my style. Anyway, so I'm picking on this man like I pick on anybody else. I'm praying with him. And I'm spending a week with him. Anyway, I have to go back to school. So I'll never forget the last time I was with him. I'm standing next to him and I say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be graduating from college in May, but it'd be great if you could be there." But we both knew this wasn't going to happen. This man was going to die. And I said, "Okay, listen, I'll pray for you. Doesn't it sound holy?" "Oh, we priests and seminarians can sound so holy sometimes." And I start walking out of the room. I wanted to get one last look at him anyway, because I knew it'd be the last time I saw him. And I turn around and there he is, desperately calling me back with his hands, but he couldn't say anything. And so I'm thinking something's terribly wrong. I ran around on the other side of bed. I said, "What's the matter? What's the matter? What can I do for you?" And this man grabbed me and he took me and he started holding me so close and he's hugging me so tight. And as he's hugging me so tight, I look up and I go, "Yeah, I love you too, Dad." And a little later, my dad died. The only time I ever told my dad that I loved him was on his deathbed. Why? Because he wasn't the type of dad I wanted. He was an alcoholic, and he was a mean alcoholic. And I spent my whole life judging my father instead of loving my father. Huh? Jesus Christ only gave us one commandment, just one. Love one another as I have loved you. All people will know you're my disciples because you love one another. And then he forbid us to judge. And boy, we Catholics are great judgers, but we're not so great lovers, especially me. I am so glad that the last thing I ever said to my dad was, "I love you." Gentlemen, life is too short. So if you haven't heard me before and it's the first time you heard the story, you have some homework. And if you heard me before and you didn't do it, well, you're going to purgatory unless you do this. And if you don't do it this time, you're going to hell for sure. Kids, we're going to start with you. You have to write two letters before you go to bed. One to your mother, one to your father. And you got to tell them that you love them and why. And you can't sit there and say, "Dear Dad, I love you, man, Joe." No. You got to tell them why. Gentlemen, if you have 10 children, it's going to be a long night. I want you to write to every one of your children and tell them that you love them and why. And no, you cannot write it on the computer and say, I love you to each of your children and then change the name and send it out. Handwritten letter to each of your children. Okay? And so then you're going to have to give it to them. This is the way I want you to write the letter. As if by tonight, midnight, you or they would be dead. What would you want to say? And then the extra second part of the homework is you got to tell the people you love that you love them how often? Every day. For some of you men, this is going to kill you. Good. It's about time you die for your wife and your kids. And let me give you a hint. I know some of you are looking at me and saying, "Hell with you, Father. I'll do what I want." Okay. Or, "Father, I'm German. Germans don't do that." Or, "Father, I'm Italian. We do it all the time. I love you. I love you." Or, "Father, I'm Irish. We do it when we're drunk." You don't let your culture determine your faith. Your faith influences your culture. Now, if you don't do this, like I know some of you won't, hell with me. Let me give you a hint. But if you do this, you'll never regret it. You're not going to be laying... I've been in a lot of deathbeds being a priest 28 years. A lot of deathbeds. Never once are you going to be there saying, "I can't believe I told my wife and my kids that I loved them every day. Stupid, stupid, stupid." That day will never happen. But if you don't, I promise you, as you're taking your last breath on this earth, you'll regret your miserable life. You'll sit there and say, "Why couldn't I tell my wife and my kids that I love them every day? Why was I so afraid? Why was I so proud?" And you'll regret your miserable life. I promise you. Gentlemen, you only have one life. And this life gave you, God gave you to be a man of love, to give away your life for others. So in your family, you need to have faith and you need to have forgiveness. You need to have affirmation. You need to make memories. You need to have intimacy. You need to love and you need to put others before yourself. You do this, then when you drop dead, 80 years from now, I'll still be alive. Priests live a long time. You'll say, "You know what my husband did for me, what my kids did for me, my father did for me? They never let me go to bed at night or walk out the door without telling me that they loved me." And that'll be a great legacy. Gentlemen, life's too short, huh? Now, I got 2 minutes. In this 2 minutes, I'll be around for the rest of the day, and I will help hear confessions. Now, if you haven't been to confession, don't come to me if it's only been a month and you have no, your venial sins will be taken care of when? At Mass today. So, but if you need, I have what we call the questions. If you never heard it, you just grab me. "Father, can I go to confession?" Absolutely, you little pagan. And then we'll go through the questions. "Have you prayed every day?" We just go through the things. "Have you prayed?" I'm the only priest that does it. Don't ask any other priest. They'll get mad at me. It happens all the time. "Have you prayed every day? Have you used God's name in vain? Have you missed Mass? Have you dishonored your parents? Have you got angry? Hurt others with your words? Made fun of others? Helped someone have an abortion? Impure thoughts? Impure actions with self? Not married? Oral sex with another? Intercourse with another? Married? Artificial birth control? Did you commit adultery? Have you had sex with someone of the same sex? Have you looked at pornography? Have you lied? Have you cheated? Have you stolen? Have you gossiped? Have you been jealous? Have you got drunk? Have you got high? Have you been judgmental? Have you been proud? Do you consistently take care of the poor? Is there anything else?" Now, normally it's yes, 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 yes. "No, I'd never do that one, Father." "Yes, yes, 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 yes." "Oh, I'd like to try that one, Father." Whack! "Yes, yes, 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 yes." "Is there anything else?" "Yeah, I set a cat on fire to watch it burn." Oh, you are going to hell forever. And there will be cats there forever. And then I'll say to you, "Are you sorry?" You have to say, "Yes, Father, I'm sorry. That's your acting contrition." Then I'll give you one Our Father. It's all I've ever given in 28 years. And people say, "Oh, Father, I don't think that's enough." Well, nobody asked you. If you don't think the Lord's Prayer, the perfect prayer of Jesus, is enough, you go tell him about that. Okay, but that's all I'm going to give you. I will not go back and talk about your other sins. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. Right? So, if it's been a long time since your last confession, please don't be afraid. There's priests here all day. Grab any priest. Get in line. Go to confession. If it's only been a week, don't come to me. Don't go to one of these other priests and sit there and go to confession. Get right with God. The greatest gift God gave us is dying on the cross for us, and he renews that grace for you every time you confess. Every sin you confess, Jesus says, "Give me that sin," and he pays for it. Every sin you don't confess, he doesn't pay for it. You got to pay for it. So go to confession and do not be afraid. That was 44 minutes and 46 seconds. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless, keep, and protect you. He who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, gentlemen.